Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Dr. Katrina O'Sullivan from the Department of Psychology in Maynooth University, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And you are, of course, also the award-winning author of Poor, your memoir of growing up in poverty and neglect, now being made into a stage show, I believe.
It is, yeah, yeah. We're adapting it for theatre. Hopefully, it'll be out early next year in one of the great Dublin theatres.
Great, that's a fantastic idea. Okay, so look, what we're going to talk about today is grief. But we're going to talk especially about complicated grief.
Mm.
And I suppose that could be a grief for a person who didn't love you very well. Or I think sometimes a loved one dies and people are actually relieved. And I know your grief around your own mum and dad is complicated too. But before we get complicated, grief is complicated at the best of times. It's different for everybody. But if someone dies, you love them, they loved you back, it was a healthy relationship till the end. The grief is more straightforward, is it?
It is. Well, generally, we all go through the same kind of process. There used to be this idea that there was like 7 stages of grief, that we all go through them the same way. And that's not really true. Basically, usually grief involves 4 things or 3 things particularly. First one is a disbelief or just shock when anyone dies. And then there can be a bit of anger, even if it's, you know, expected and you love them. There can be anger that they're just not here anymore. And then there's sadness, just real sadness. The other thing I think we don't talk about in terms of normal grief is the loneliness of grief, the social loneliness and the emotional loneliness. Even if we're all grieving for the same person in the same family, we all love them, there's a kind of isolated space around grief where it's your emotion, your feeling, your relationship. And we all experience that in normal grief, in healthy grief.
Okay.
And I think sometimes, because in Ireland we have this really quick process of burying people,
yeah,
that isolation and that loneliness can be more emphasised, because you have this space when someone dies where in the aftermath, everybody's around you, everybody, you're getting the sandwiches, the tea's being made, it's kind of lovely. And then it's really quick and it's over and you have this kind of social isolation where it's like, can I still talk about this? Can I still share about it?
Because we think we're great at death in Ireland, and actually we kind of also pride ourselves on the fact that funerals happen quite quickly. Whereas, for example, like in England, we'd be talking about, oh, isn't it terrible that those poor people have had to wait 2 weeks for a funeral?
It's funny, yeah, because my mum died in England, my dad died here. And so we are great at death in Ireland. So we're the wake, there's a beautiful processes that happen here in terms of the celebration of life, the loss, the ending, the saying goodbye. But it's very quick. And we do it very quick. Historically, we only buried our dead really quick because so many died at one time. And we had to get rid of the bodies because there'd be rotten bodies everywhere. So there's no religious reason why we do it so quickly, Brendan. Actually, the church is talking about trying to delay the space, that it's actually too quick and it puts a lot of pressure on them.
Okay.
And so we do death really well, as in like the saying goodbye. But sometimes the fast paced nature of it can mean that we feel like we can't talk about it once the funeral's over, or everybody's there, then everybody's gone. I've done the British one as well. And it does feel like, come on, when is this going to end? Like, you've got weeks and weeks of waiting. But also within that couple of weeks, there's like permission to feel sad, to share about your sadness. And I kind of like that you actually have permission to grieve and grieve together.
And to talk about the person.
Yeah.
And that, and like, really, the simplest thing it comes down to all the time is that people do always just want to talk about the person a lot, don't they?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, they feel, don't give them that space to
exactly
do that. And
like
for quite a while afterwards, they can.
Exactly. Even for me now, my dad's dead over 10 years. And the saddest part for me is that I can't talk about him. Not just because it was complicated and because people know that he wasn't a great dad at times. But people are uncomfortable when you talk about death, and they're uncomfortable when you talk about your sadness. The best way to help someone when they're grieving is to understand that grief doesn't end really quickly, and allow them to talk about the people and celebrate them. The worst part is when you stop talking about people, they kind of keep dying. The death keeps ending because you forget them. I remember a few years ago, I couldn't remember what my dad's voice sounded like. And it really hit me hard. I was like, I can't remember what he sounded like.
Yeah.
And it really hit me. And then when I was trying to tell people that, they were like, oh, well, he's in a better place now. And, you know, they try to make you feel better by ending your feeling.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Best way is to allow people talk about the dead person and remember them and cherish them, even if they're crying when they're doing it.
And you would say as well, you know, we talk about there's no hierarchy of grief. There is a hierarchy of grief, in fact.
Yes, of course there is. Like, if a child dies, so if somebody's child dies, that's the worst experience of grief that we know of in psychology. So we try to, you know, measure who experiences the worst grief. And so a child dying, a parent dying, and a spouse dying or a partner dying, they're, I suppose, the hierarchy. It depends, obviously, on the relationship, but most of the time they are like the pinnacle of grief, which is not a nice way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is when a child dies, Brendan, that is a really difficult and really hard process to go through. And then obviously when a partner dies, when widowhood happens, like, you're not only grieving that person, you're actually grieving your future, your plans, your life together. Also, you got to think about the age of the person makes a difference as well when they die. It's not easier if an older person dies. You still experience grief the same way. But if they're older, there is more of an acceptance that they've had a life that hopefully they enjoyed and lived well. When it's a younger person, you can be dealing with that as well. So the loss of their future, the loss of what you thought they might become and the opportunities that you had to be with them. And so, yeah, it can be complicated. But there is a hierarchy.
Yeah.
And so like if your great-grandparent dies and you're really close, that's really sad. But if your mom dies and she was your mom and you had a really close relationship, that is more important.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose.
So it's okay to feel worse about some deaths.
Yeah.
Before we get to the complicated grief, there can be a relief sometimes when someone dies that can be okay.
Yeah.
Can't there?
So like complicated grief actually isn't always to do with the relationship you had with a person. Complicated grief is sometimes to do with how long grief lasts and you don't move out of the sadness. So, but complicated relationships are them.
Okay.
But in terms of like, so I've heard people say this, you know, I felt glad that it was over and they felt bad about that. So we can live in a state of anticipated grief, Brendan, which is a complicated type of grief, which means you're living with someone who has cancer or you know they're going to die or you know they've dementia, you know it's going to happen, and you're anticipating death all the time. And that in itself is a type of grief. And when the person dies, that can be a relief because you're out of that space.
And you hear people saying, I have done a lot of my grieving already. And I think sometimes they feel bad for not feeling worse when the actual death happens, even though there still is very real grief there.
Exactly.
So that's OK. They actually have done a lot of their grieving.
It's totally OK to feel whatever way you feel when somebody dies, Brendan.
Yeah.
Like it's really out of your control. I always imagine, I don't know if you saw that film Inside Out with sadness. Sadness touches things and they go sad, they go blue. And when you're in a state of anticipated grief, when somebody is dying and you know they're dying, you can be having wonderful experiences with them. And it's like sadness touches them experiences because you know they're going to die and that's going to happen soon and you won't be with them. And when that person eventually does die, you can move then through and, you know, the disbelief, the anger, get to the sadness and then get to the acceptance. So it's not that you're happy they're gone. It's just happy that you can move through, I suppose, the steps of grief.
Yeah. On a side note, Inside Out, one of the great psychological tracks
of
our time, both of them, aren't they? Yeah. like, show them to, if your kids haven't seen them, show them to your kids and younger kids and teenagers and everything.
Totally.
Okay. What situations or relationships might involve complicated grief?
I think, obviously, I'll just talk about my own situation.
Okay.
So I had two parents who were both addicts, both alcoholics, terrible parents to me when I was a child. My dad actually fixed it as he got older. My mum never did. And so, like, when my mum died, Brendan, I would be what you'd call quite inappropriate when she died. So people would say, I'm really sorry for your loss. And I'd be like, I'm not. I'm really glad she's dead. And like, it's totally wrong way to respond to death.
And just to remind people, how old was your mother when she died?
My mum was 59 when she died and my dad was 56.
And your mother had become a heroin addict
again
towards the end of her life.
So her liver gave in and she bled to death, basically. It was a horrendous death. And she, but I was really glad that it was over. The thing that and it still makes me cry now, the thing that I grieved was the hope. Was the hope that she and I would be able to reconnect, that she would be the mother that I always deserved, that she would be able to write her own life and live a happy life. So my but I was never sad that she was gone and the pain was gone of what she brought into my life. That's what I was glad was over.
And but the up until the end, you thought that it might be fixed.
Always, somehow. And the thing for me to say around complicated grief and complicated relationships, when the person dies, your relationship with the person doesn't die. So it's possible to heal them relationships even when they're not here. So like when my mum died, she became static. She no longer was inflicting pain on me or my life anymore. And it actually became easier in some ways for me to heal from that relationship. So I went from actually being glad that she was gone to being able to actually see her for her humanity and to love her and forgive her, even though she was gone. So there's even hope in death.
Okay.
In some cases.
Did you go to counselling to do that?
I did. And now if not immediately, like I actually nearly had a kind of breakdown after my mum died. Like I really got bad anxiety because I couldn't process how complicated it was, the feelings that I had, because I was glad that she was dead, but I also was really sad that this hope, like I used to live in my life thinking when I wasn't with her, one day we'll fix it. Like one day she'll be the mum that I deserve.
And you loved her always?
I always loved her. Children love their parents.
And did she love you? Was she able to?
As she told me, like there's a story of my book. I'll never forget this day. I was in Trinity and I just got this feeling. I knew it was close to the end with her because she was so bad in terms of the drugs and the drink. And I remember going out into the hallway in Trinity and ringing her and saying, "Mum, did you ever love me?" And she said, "Oh, my Katrina, yeah, I loved you so much. I just love drugs more." Now, for someone listening, that sounds like a hurtful thing to say, but it actually was the truth I needed to hear. And the fact that she told me that she loved me, like she said, my mum prostituted herself, Brendan. She didn't live a life of choice. My mum was driven by these demons that were in her for many, many years. But I remember she said to me once, when I used to go out and try and earn money, all I had in my head was gear, heroin and chips for the kids. And so like even in her darkest hour, she still had us in her mind. It just, she couldn't love me the way I deserved.
Okay.
And so when she died, it was complicated. And also when...
So for people now who might have a version of this in their lives, there's two things I'm hearing here. One is that you can, if you feel, oh God, they're dead and I never got closure.
Yeah.
You can get that closure afterwards. 100%. Go and look for help. The other thing is as well... So did you stop blaming her then after she died? Is that it?
I think so. I think blaming her, it's kind of like two parts of me. So there'll always be the part of me that says I should have been treated better. That's your self-esteem. That's your self-worth. Like I deserved better. That's got stronger as I've healed. And I'm like, I didn't deserve to be treated badly by this woman. But there's another side of me, this empathy, this part of me that understands humans and understands the complication that's been able to forgive. So I actually exist in two spaces, as we all do.
Yeah,
we all
yeah.
have mixed feelings. The thing about it is if someone dies and you haven't resolved a relationship or it's complicated, it's okay to feel glad that they're gone. It's okay to feel extremely sad if they're gone or to have regret. Everything can be worked through. Nothing is static just because a person dies. And it becomes complicated when you get stuck in it. So that's what complicated grief is when somebody dies and you don't actually move through the sadness into the acceptance and you're living in the sadness or the anger of it. And that's when you really need to get help. You really probably need to go for psychological help if you're not moving out of the deep sadness or the anger and getting to a point of acceptance.
Okay, okay. And sometimes like there's a thin line then for people around someone. I think some people sometimes don't want to kind of interfere with the person's grief. They want to respect it the way we were talking about at the beginning. But I think sometimes people around a person can sense when they're stuck as well and maybe gently try and
exactly. And you can buy people books as well. You can buy people books. You can introduce them to podcasts. Nowadays, we've so many ways of communicating about psychology and grief to people. You don't have to be like directly saying you're stuck. You need to move on. I mean, compassion is the most important thing in allowing people the opportunity to feel whatever they're feeling. Now, when my dad died, Brendan, it was completely different because you know, me and my brothers, we'd been through different stages of trying to heal the relationship with my dad. I was pretty far gone. My brothers weren't. So we were at
far along in healing.
In healing and forgiveness. And my brothers weren't. So we're at a funeral. And, you know, funerals, everybody wants to talk really well of the dead. Like, nobody wants to stand up and say, this fellow is a bit of a bollocks. You know what I mean? Yeah. They might joke about it, but no one wants to say it. And I remember with my dad's funeral particularly, there's myself and my son who really had moved a lot forward and wanted to say the great things. And then I've got one of my brothers who's like swearing in the church saying, you know, under his breath saying he was an arse.
Yeah.
He did this.
Both legitimate, I would imagine, yeah.
Yes, both legitimate. Everybody's feelings are legitimate after grief. Everybody's are. And so it was really fiery. And in our family, as you can probably tell, I'm pretty outwards. My family's pretty outwards as well. So like there was absolute murder after the funeral, like fights. And fighting after funerals and fighting after death is quite common.
Yeah.
People feel angry. But in our case, the whole idea of celebrating someone's life and ignoring the bad part of them was really problematic.
There's versions of that goes on everywhere too,
everywhere.
Isn't it? I think a lot of people have to just suck up eulogies, sit there and with their teeth and listen to them, don't they?
100%.
So with your dad, you had achieved some kind of closure with him before he died, had
it's
you?
It's funny, you know, because as I've gone forward in my life, written the book, like the anger towards my dad is actually much more stronger now than it ever was then when he was alive. I talked about this in the book as well. Like when my dad was really scared of dying. I think when we talk about grief and death, not a lot of people talk about the death process and how traumatizing it is to witness someone actually dying and going through that. Like my dad, when he was dying, was terrified of death. And he asked for a priest. He wasn't religious. He was terrified. But I went to the hospice one night and he said to me, "We're okay, aren't we? Everything's forgiven, isn't it?" He was desperate to know that I had forgiven him. And in my head, I was like, absolutely not. You did this in my mind. Mm. But when I looked in his eyes, the desperation, I said, "It's all forgiven, Dad. It's all forgiven. You can go in peace." And I did that for him rather than for myself. The truth is, it's complicated. I forgive him, but I also don't accept it. And I also think that he could have done a lot better. And I have all these complicated feelings about it. As time has gone on, it's got easier. But I still miss him. And when you tell
When do you miss him?
You know what? Like my dad was, when do I miss him?
Mm.
Oh, only in the happy times. Oh, Brendan, like my grandson, I'm going to cry. My grandson was born 2.5 years ago, and the day he was born, I just thought, oh, I'd love to be able to tell my dad that it was all okay, that we all, that we made it. You know, look at what we've done, because despite the fact that my dad was an addict and alcoholic, and he really did try to make it better in his later life. And I would, so the happy times is where I really miss him, like the graduations, the kids doing things. I think, oh, I'd love to be able to show him that we're here and hear his views and share it with him.
He would have been so proud of all he, wouldn't
yeah.
he? Like,
yeah.
Because the thing I think people forget about addicts as well is that, like, they have a huge humility usually, don't
oh,
they?
Definitely.
Like, they're
yeah.
so humble. And
yeah.
then to see you do what you've done, I'd
exactly.
say he would be thinking, God, a daughter of mine
yeah.
in Trinity
yeah.
book.
He was so
yeah.
proud. Yeah.
yeah.
The thing is, they were proud. The two of them were really proud
yeah.
of me. And when I got into Trinity, like, my dad framed the acceptance letter. It wasn't even the graduation letter.
Yeah.
It was the acceptance letter. However, it didn't stop that we had a complicated relationship. And when people experience death and they haven't resolved things with the person, that can be really, really hard for them. And I'm not trying to diminish that in any way.
Yeah.
I think your feelings are valid. It's really important to get support. Like, I would definitely advise getting support, especially if someone dies who you had a complicated relationship with. And whether that's a group, a meditation group or whatever it is, or somewhere where you can just go and talk about the person, how you feel about it. Because in families, we can't, if there's complication, I could never have gone to my brother. Even today, if I speak to my brother and I say, I really miss Dad, it kicks off in him this, oh, well, he was this, he was, you know, mm. straight away, his stuff is kicked off. So having somebody yourself that you can talk to and feel safe with is really important.
Okay. Can I go back to that, what you said to your father before he died? Because I think that guilt can often be a real complicated grief, right?
Yeah.
So you gave him that. You said, yeah, yeah, we're okay. It's all okay. And are you glad now you did that? Or do you think, I wish I had told him the truth about a few things? Or did it cost you anything to do that?
It did cost me. It definitely cost me. But like,
is it the better thing to do ultimately to just end it on a good note?
For me, it was the better thing to do. I think it depends on, like, my dad none of my family, my mum or my dad, could not reach back to 7-year-old Katrina and fix what they did to her. And I knew he was sorry, Brendan. I knew he was sorry, and I knew that she didn't mean it. And actually sitting in the hospice when he's in pain and he's really struggling and asking him to say sorry again was not going to heal anything. Yeah. So, yeah, it was costly to me, but I could carry that burden. I don't know if it would have helped us in any way, him having to apologise, because sometimes when people hurt us, they can't actually, knowing that they're sorry doesn't fix it. Like I went to therapy with my parents when, like, about 10, 15 years ago. We went to a group therapy session because of how bad things were. And I remember thinking for years, if my mum just said sorry, then I would be okay. If she just said sorry. And she sat in the therapy session and she looked me in the face. She said, Katrina, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And I walked out of the therapy session and I felt no different.
No, it didn't work.
Because all of the pain that lives in me, unfortunately, as adults, it's our job to heal from relationships. The person who hurt us cannot take that pain away.
Okay. Please tell that Katrina, she's amazing and so right about grief. I'm grieving my mum, who has dementia. It's devastating. I feel better having listened to Katrina. Someone else says, you're wrong to say you love your parents dead or alive. I hated my father alive and now he's dead. I still do. He was a cruel man. I'm doing great that I can accept that. And again, you wouldn't judge that.
That's, no, absolutely.
That's legitimate too. Spot on, says someone else. Losing an alcoholic father, I get this. In the end, we couldn't let him die alone. Yeah. Compassion took over because he was terrified. And I'd say they are all glad they did that.
And
now,
see them people, Brendan, who actually give care in the midst of hate and in the midst of anger, I think they deserve so much warmth and respect. Because some of us, when people are dying, we feel like we have to do the caring. We have to overcome our own feelings and put things to one side, which is what I did. And that person and people who are doing that really deserve to be loved and respected for that. And just when you say, like, not all kids love their parents. I think when I say all kids love their parents, what I meant is we all are connected to our parents and want to be loved by
some
our parents.
Biological
instinct. Exactly.
Yeah. And look, equally here, right? I just can't forgive my father coming into our family home and both physically and mentally abusing my mother when we were kids. I'm now 50. He's a declining alcoholic. I'd prefer now if he was gone for him and for me. And that's
exactly how I felt about my mum. And you know what? I sat in the toilet last week. Sorry if that's a bit personal.
No, go on.
And I said to my husband, we were talking about death, and I said, Dave, I still feel glad that she's gone. I wish my dad was here. I'd love another day with him.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like that about my mum. And I'm totally fine about that. And that's not because I don't care and I'm a callous person. It's because the pain and the hurt was too much. And there's no overcoming that. So I totally understand why that person feels like that. And you don't have to care for a person who didn't treat you well. So, it's totally up to you. The most important thing with grief is respecting how you're feeling and trying to find people who can support you through it.
I just want to read one more because there's lots and lots of texts coming in, right? My mother was a manipulative narcissist, and while, like your guest, I grieve the loss of not having a mother, but her death was also the end of the manipulation and hurt.
That's the same as me. And I still grieve not having a mother. Brendan, on Mother's Day, I cry I still grieve not having a mother.
But not for your mother, for the mother you didn't have.
No, for the mother she could have been. And the thing about my mum is, though, like, this is my belief, and people might not believe this. I believe every person is born destined to grow towards the light, that we are all innately good. And some of us get bent out of shape by the shadows that we experience. My mum got bent out of shape. She couldn't love me. She wanted to, but she couldn't. That's what gets me through at the end of the day. And while she's gone, I miss the hope. I don't miss her, but I do still grieve for the fact that I didn't have a mother, and I deserved a mother, like we all do.
Yeah, that'll be a lifelong grief, will it?
Lifelong, okay.
I'm bouncing something at you that you weren't expecting. Oh. Now, so if you don't want to speak to this, it's okay. But Someone's wondering, and I do think this is the ultimate complicated grief. Could you ask Katrina, please, about grieving for someone who has died by suicide?
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think what's really important to it with death by suicide is firstly that we talk about it, that's one of the complicated things about grief is the suicide conversation. We don't talk about it. Like, my mum killed herself.
Secrets.
But she killed herself with drugs, and my dad killed himself with cigarettes and drink as well. But he didn't. He was told he was going to die if he didn't stop, and he stopped. The reality is, I think with suicide, we don't talk about it. It's such a taboo subject. I think you have the anger towards the person, maybe, which can be understandable. But also there's trying to get to a place of compassion whereby somebody who takes their life, they have to be in the worst particular position to do that. I definitely think with suicide, it's really important that families get support, someone to talk to about it and go through them complicated feelings and try their best to get to a point where they understand, not necessarily forgive if that's where they're at, but that they understand and that they can move to the point where it's accepting it.
You have, there's a thing here, you said that with time it is possible to separate the bad from the good,
yeah,
if you want to.
I think
sounds really good.
Yeah, so Brendan, I had a horrific life and I don't want to live the rest of my life with anger or hurt. Like I'm choosing to try and heal because I think I deserve to be completely happy. Not that anyone is ever completely happy, but I think it's actually possible to separate the bad from the good. I have separated the bad from the good. I've been able to do that with intensive therapy, and now I'm not in therapy anymore. I'm able to kind of see the bad of my mum and the good of her and live in a space that understands, that doesn't accept. It is possible for everybody, I think, to heal, but it's also really hard. And like we've talked about this before on the show, you know, it's okay if you decide not to. It's okay if you decide just to say, I'm going to swear there. I'm not giving him a second. That's done. I'm over it. I'm not talking about it. It's done. If that's the way you want to live, that's absolutely fine. For me, I just want to be in the most compassionate place I can be. And I don't want to live with anger or terror. And so I've chosen to try my best to separate things and heal. And I definitely think it's possible to see the bad, to feel the good, to see the both of them and to live in a space where you're not angry. That's my choice. Some days I don't feel like that. So you don't meet me on them days. I wouldn't come on the Brendan O'Connor show when I'm lying in bed going, my dad was this. Why didn't he give me this? So there are days when I still live in the anger. And they're the days.
That's okay too.
They're the days that I practice the self-care, the things that I've been taught. They're the days where Dave puts his arm around me and says, babe, you know what? It doesn't matter that your dad didn't love you because I love you and we have a great life. So it's not that I'm presenting here a completely fixed person, but there are days when it's bad and when it is, I know what to do.
Okay, I'll just read one other text here. My brother, an alcoholic, tore my family apart, died last year.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've heard someone having the same thoughts and feelings as me. Guilty about not feeling sad that he is gone, not able to forgive. Katrina, thank you for your honesty. I feel I'm not the only one. Someone else says, as a parent of an alcoholic who died, I'm so glad I was able to show him compassion and care despite all he did to us. I was able to say I did right by him. I'm crying here listening to this. Look, I think the key point that you made several times during that is that, well, A, that whatever way you're feeling about it, whatever way you choose to deal with it is okay. But people who have complicated grief and are stuck, they probably need to get some help from outside, from a therapist.
If it goes on for longer than 2 years, the extreme deep sadness. Sadness is good, but if it goes on where you're stuck for longer than 2 years, it's a good idea to get some help. The last thing, Brendan, is for other people who are supporting people who are going through grief, allow them to talk about the people. Allow them to keep them alive. That really matters. We don't need to tell people not to be sad when they're grieving. It's important actually to encourage them to talk about the person because it's a continual death when you're not allowed to share about the person that you love.
Okay. And if people have been affected by this interview, they'll find support at rte.ie/support. And look, Katrina, I think a lot of people were affected in all kinds of helpful ways about that. That was extraordinary. Thank you very much, Katrina. Sullivan, we'll take a break.